Blind Cool Tech 220.
Man, did I get the right coordinates? Is this even the right planet? Looks so blue! Oh well, here we go! Oh no, this is quite one rough landing! Oh god! Oh, that is a rough landing! I bet you Lewis Cook can't design that program. Oh well, I better go introduce myself to the inhabitants of this planet. Greetings, Earthlings. My name is Wulbuxi Elbuxi, and I have come from the planet Blind Quartet. I want to tell you how great my planet is, so I'm going to tap you into the data stream. You can listen in on the communications as they go along. Here, listen and see what you think.
Hey y'all, how are you? Welcome to the November 13th edition of Blind Cool Tech. We've got a full show for you today. Brandon Armstrong has a career profile. His girlfriend Kelly Dietz also has one. We hear from Rob Meredith about self-noise in microphones, lots of guesses about the mystery sound, and I provide a little more perspective on the Olympus DS2. Before we get too much into the show, though, I do want to welcome any new listeners to the podcast, and most likely you probably discovered us through the webpage at blindcooltech.com. And that's a great way to look around and find information that you may specifically be requesting. But the more fun way to get these podcasts is to use a program like a pod-catching software that actually delivers these podcasts and any other show that you subscribe to straight to your hard drive, so you don't have to go look or forget to go check a site or whatever. This really is the new radio. I think you'll be really pleased if you try out some podcatching software. In the podcatching software news, Jeff Bishop sent a message through the list yesterday and announced that there's a new version of iPodder available, with a new name, in fact. This is called now it's called Juice 2.2. It will be available on the Frequently Asked Questions link on Blind Cool Tech, so if you want to try it out. I have installed it. It didn't really fix the accessibility issues with the multiple page tab dialogues or the scheduler. You can still use them, it's just that they act a little quirky, and I think part of that is because this software was written in Python with a library for some of the more standard Windows controls, and that library is probably what's not exactly right. But it looks good. It looks very nice, and there's also support in there for subscribing to protected podcasts, and I believe audible.com will be making some announcements along those lines in the next few days. Also want to send out a big congratulations to Daryl Shandro. He's been attending the Portable Media Expo out in Ontario, CA for California, not Canada. And actually got on to, met up with Adam Curry, who is the pod father, they call him. He's really, him and Dave Weiner pretty much got this idea of marrying media content and RSS feeds and delivery. So Daryl made some progress, it sounds like, with getting more accessibility into the pod show, into the music.podshow.com site, which is a place where pod safe music, in other words, artists will put their music there and you're free to play them in your podcasts. There's a few restrictions and things that you need to do to comply with all the rules. Nothing major. And this gives artists exposure and gives podcasters some great music to share with other people. But there are some accessibility issues with trying to use music.podshow.com as a blind user. Listen to this clip from Daily Source Code. Was it 276? No, it was 278, but listen to this
everybody,
cool clip.
I should get my cards. Hold on a second. Just stay right there, okay? Let me just grab this out of my... Oh man, where'd I put him? Here they are. I think this is it. I think it was Darren. He introduced himself as one of the blind casters, which to me was very, very evident when he came up to me. This is the guy, actually, who wrote me an email and bitched and moaned and was kind of mean in his approach. I don't have his card here. About some accessibility features. But we had a really great chat, surrounded by a million other people, which is, you know, what I hate about these types of gatherings, is you can never really sit down and just chat with someone, which is actually why we have the Pod Show Lounge, is so we could just, you know, have a place where the Pod Show people can hang out and talk with people. And because, you know, there's like stars, man. They're freaking celebrities. Look at Don Drew. It was amazing yesterday. It's like Sonny and Cher on acid. More acid than Sonny and Cher. So anyway, so Darren had some really good remarks about the PodSafe Music Network. It's all about accessibility. And I really want to make it our mission. And this is a message to PodShow HQ as well. In all the building that we're doing, let's try and put these accessibility features for a huge core audience of podcasting, namely people who are blind. Let's make sure we put that into the DNA of our thinking, and that we always develop with that in mind, because there are some things, particularly about the PodSafe Music Network, which is really bogus, that don't work. For instance, the verification email, there's some flash is a huge problem. And I don't know if there's like alt tags or accessibility features in Flash that you can use, but I can certainly see why Flash interfaces don't work for the blind. He was going through this whole list of things like, dude, you know, I've forwarded one or two of these emails that I've caught, you know, that you sent to me, but why don't we just give you a login to our Bugzilla database, which is, if you're not familiar with Bugzilla, you know, look it up, but it's essentially an open source, database where you can drop in bug reports, and there's, you know, tickets are assigned to them, and it can go through a resolution path so that eventually stuff basically gets done. And of course, it being open source and put together by a whole bunch of really smart people, it is very accessible. So Darren was completely, you know, overjoyed with that, and so we're going to have him doing some QA and helping us out, which I think is a great idea.
Well, that is fantastic. Congratulations, Daryl. Good work, man. Sounds like we're making some real inroads into accessibility, and I know I appreciate, and I'm sure I speak for all the blind Cool Tech listeners, in saying thank you for making that trip out there on your own expense and bringing our concerns to the forefront like that. And sounds like, from what Adam says, sounds like you might have actually learned a little bit about diplomacy as well. So looks like this could work out for everybody. Good work, dude.
Larry, this is Michael Killian, going to give you my guesses to mystery sound number 8. Sounds to me like the bell that a dog might have on its collar. I would call it a doggy bell. Ding, ding, ding. That is my guess for mystery sound number 8. Bye.
Nope, not quite, Michael. For those of you who may be new to the show, we are referring to kind of a little game we play here once in a while. We have a sound that you try to identify. And the sound this time, Mystery Sound 8, has been particularly difficult because it's so subtle. So in case you didn't hear the previous edition of the show with the sound, I'll play it for you again right here. I'm going to precede and post with 3 seconds of silence so that you can turn up your device to hear this subtle sound. So, you can see why people are having difficulty with this one.
Hi, Larry. This is Beth from Newport News, Virginia. Nice, cool, beautiful day. I'm glad we're over the 100-degree heat that we had this summer and over the hurricane season, at least hopefully. I would like to disagree with what Dean Martineau said. I just absolutely love your walks to and from work. Kind of makes me pine for a dog again. I had emailed you about this, but I had had very, very bad luck with the dogs when I got them. And I'd like to again suggest, as I did in my email, that you do a program on your dog. And I went into that in detail in my email, so I won't recap that here. But I just marvel at the way you guys work, and it's just such a pleasure to hear you. And it's even helping me to play a little game with myself and try out some O&M stuff that I haven't done in years. And I know I'm safe because I'm sitting in front of my computer, so I can't get run over. So I try to keep track of where you're going, and when you say you turn east or south, I try to imagine doing it, and I try to imagine standing at the intersection. I had never heard I'm having a senior moment. You know, those talking traffic things? I can't remember the name of them. I had never heard one before, so your podcast enables me to hear one. We have none around here. So please keep that up, and keep up all your other good work, too, and I'll see you further down the pods. Bye.
Hey, Beth. Thanks for the comments, and actually, as a result of your email, I believe it was Friday's show, I did do some more explanation about guide dogs and how you can, some things you can consider to make sure that you're ready for a guide dog, or if you and a guide dog's life can mesh together.
Hi, this is Beth again. One thing I forgot to say, you know, there is more to life than technology, and it's just so nice to hear you when you go into a store and buy something and hear you say hi to people, and like running into Jean that time. That was really cool. Whatever happened with the with her office? Did she finally get it painted and carpeted and all that? And is she now your downstairs neighbor? Keep it up. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, Jean and them did get moved in a couple of weeks ago, and it's nice to have some new neighbors. We did a whole new remodeling job on the floor right below where I work at over there, so we'll have to do a sound-seeing tour of that area.
Hello, Larry. This is Lois Goodine, and I just listened to number 213, and I agree with you. I love that intro, and I particularly like the echoey voice saying, "Ooh, I can't see anything." That's hilarious. And I also like the outer spacey one. Those are terrific. They all are, but those in particular, I think, are my favorites. And you're brave. I don't know that I would have wanted to sit outside on my porch in that storm with that much lightning around. I'm wondering which device you recorded it with. Fantastic. Just keep up the good work. These are much fun. Take care.
Those are some fantastic intros, aren't they, Lois? I gotta hand it to Kai. He is a creative genius and a master at this stuff. This is really, really funny and good stuff. Brave wasn't the word that Liz used to describe my behavior out in the thunderstorm, but trying stupid would be more like it. And I don't think it helped any that I was wearing the binaural microphones to act as a little extra antenna to attract more lightning. That was recorded, by the way, on the Olympus DS2 with the binaural microphones.
Let's do it! Blind Cartel.
Hello, podcast listeners. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Brandon Armstrong. I'm currently enrolled at Hill Junior College in Hillsboro, Texas. I've lived in Texas most of my life, which is about 13 years or more. I graduated in 2001 at James Bowie High School in Austin, Texas. And I currently go to Hill College, as I said. I play in the band. I'm a percussionist. I've played everything that has to do with percussion except for snare. I don't play snare very well. But I lived in Austin for 13 years, as I said. Went through my major schooling there, 3rd through 12th grade. I didn't get to do much during those years because they were very, shall we say, picky about what people could do that were blind. And they didn't believe I could do anything. Well, I graduated in 2001, as I said. And then I went to a training center in Louisiana to learn how to live as a blind person and function in society. Stayed there for about a year. Left in 2002 to go to Austin. Went to Chris Cole. Stayed there for 7 months. And then I came to Hill College. And that's where I'm currently located right now. Hope you enjoy it. If you have any questions, you can email me at my Hotmail email address, stunnerstud, STUNNERSTUD, at hotmail.com, and I'll be happy to answer your questions. Thanks for listening.
Well, thank you, Brandon. Excellent job there. I actually had written Brandon to try to elicit a few more details from him and was delighted to get this response.
Good evening, podcast listeners. I just got an email from Larry Scutchen saying he wanted me to introduce myself a little more, so here it goes. Like I said in my earlier submission, I play in the Hill College Band. I have a wonderful band director by the name of Philip Lowe. I've been working for him for 3 years, and I've played at basketball games, and we've also performed concerts here. And I've just had a wonderful time doing it. And my martial arts background, I went to a blue belt. I have a friend in Austin, Texas, who actually owns his own martial arts studio. And even though I was blind, he did not have any fears of working with me whatsoever. he even taught me how to throw knives. And I've done that. And I competed in a tournament where I actually got a knife that was specially made for me by a guy down in Florida who heard all about me from the website, and he came down and presented this knife to me, and it was quite moving, actually. I felt honored. But that's pretty much all I do. Our band director's, he's a pretty nice guy. He doesn't see my blindness as getting in the way of my playing. I can play very well, and he's enjoyed having me in his class. He's actually called me one of his favorite percussionists. So there's a brief introduction to me. Like I said, if you want my email address, it is stunnerstud@hotmail.com, STUNNERSTUD @hotmail.com. And that stunner stud is one word, by the way, with no capitals. It's all lowercase. If you have any questions for me...
ACB Radio Interactive, if anything goes with Larry T. and Rachel S. D. has just signed in.
Sorry about that. That was my jaws. If you have anything to ask me or you want to say hi, just drop me an email. I check it daily. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Brandon. Excellent. Appreciate that. I was going to say this martial arts training is something else that might be interesting to explore on our show. I had taken martial arts classes when I lived in Texas, and I have found the same situation. The instructor didn't treat the blindness as, well, actually he looked at it as a little bit of a challenge for him in trying to figure out ways that we could do things instead of reasons why we couldn't do things. And I actually also took some classes from I believe he's a fifth degree black belt who is totally blind, and I still keep in touch with him. I hear from him every once in a while, so we'll try to get him on this show next time he rolls through town or whatever. Okay, let's hear from Brandon's girlfriend.
Hello, podcast listeners. This is Brandon Armstrong from Texas again, sending another submission. To my right is my girlfriend, Kelly, and she used to go to school with me here. And I'll let her tell you what she used to do.
Hello, my name is Kelly Deeds, and I'm from Texas. I went to high school at Goldthwaite High School, and I played in the band, and I participated in drama, or in home economics there, and I graduated in 2001, and then I went to the Chris Cole Rehabilitation Center in Austin, and I participated in self-defense there called jiu-jitsu, which is really cool because I can hurt people who are mean to Brandon, and I could break their ankles and break their necks. And then I took I went to Hill College after a year that year I spent there, and I took a whole bunch of classes including English, which I hate, history, which I love, and a whole lot of others. And my dream is I either want to become a medical transcriptionist or a Spanish interpreter or something to do with sociology, but I'm not sure. Right now I'm still working on that. And I'm blind too. I've been blind from birth. and I was born in Fort Worth, Texas, and I'm currently attending MCC after 2 years of Hill College. Going to Hill College, I played in the band with Brandon, and we've been together for a long time, and we know one another real well. And I've just done a lot, and I'm currently living in Waco, going to MCC, and I love Spanish.
And to clear that up, folks, this is my third submission. We've been together for 6 years, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Thank you very much.
Coming to you from Louisville, Kentucky, it's the Blind Cool Tech Podcast.
Hi, this is Marcia, and I just wanted to let you know that I really enjoyed your podcast that you've done today, and the mystery sound, as I understand it, is it sounds like a metal key dropping on cement. Just thought I would guess. Anyway, have a good one.
Okay, Marcia, that's a good guess. But, and I can see where it definitely would be a metal key. Especially, listen to the sound again when I raise the volume substantially to it. So this one has been a lot tougher than anyone thought it would be.
Good morning, this is Mary from California. I'm going to take a stab at the mystery sound. I may be totally off the wall on this. But I was listening to Donna Slater's podcast yesterday, and something she said kind of clicked with me. And I wonder if that sound isn't one of those balls that has a little bell inside of it that you can play with and bounce around and stuff. I may be just totally off on it, but I thought I'd take a stab anyway, since I don't know if anybody's tried to guess what it is yet. So, anyway, that's my guess. Have a good one, folks. Bye for now.
You know, that's a good point, Mary. I almost wish we could have these audio comment lines go straight out to the RSS feed. Of course, we'd probably end up getting a little abuse that way, too. We'll have to work on something like that to give you guys some more feedback about these sounds.
You're listening to Blind Cool Tech.
Hi, Larry, and all Blind Cool Tech listeners. This is Donna Slater. Well, I've invested a little bit of money in an Arcos dynamic stereo microphone with a preamp. As some of you are aware, I use the Plex Talk, and I basically wanted a cheap stereo solution. Now, the Plex Talk microphone jack isn't stereo. And that means that to use the Plex Talk, you have to, if you want stereo, you have to use the line in jack and a microphone with a preamp. I'm aware that in the US, sound professionals provide a very good preamped microphone. Unfortunately, the cost of paying for shipping and importation of the microphone basically meant that I would be paying well over £100. So that really was outside my sort of financial spec for a microphone at the current time. It was essentially more than I would pay for, say, a DS2, an Olympus or something like that. The only problem with the Olympus is that I really want a longer recording time than the DS2 gives. And again, if I obtained the more expensive newer Olympus models, then, you know, financially that was going to cause me some problems. So I decided to try the Arcos stereo microphone with the preamp. Now, it doesn't give you much preamp, and I'm quite concerned about that. I'm using the microphone to record this now. My recording level is set to the highest possible level, and the indicator on the recording level a lot of the time basically says that the level is too low. I was wondering if any of you could suggest ways in which I could increase the level, possibly by using a different microphone. I can plug different microphones into this preamp, or would that not make any difference? Anyway, as I say, I just thought that it was worth spending some money on this microphone. It's not that expensive. It was about £24 sterling. Just to see if I could get some stereo sound seeing tours recorded. Again, thanks to everyone for all the really brilliant submissions in the podcasts. They're really appreciated and I'm really enjoying listening to them. As promised, I will be doing a sound seeing or sending in a sound seeing tour shortly, probably of the 5th of November, which over here is Bonfire Night. And I will talk more about that in the sound seeing tour. Okay, thanks, Larry, for letting me submit this. Bye for now.
Now, one thing, Donna. If you've got the same microphone preamp as I do, there is a little wheel on the part that contains the battery. So you might want to make sure that's all the way up. And there's Jakesters. Hey, little buddy.
You are listening to Blind Cool Tech. Hey, Larry, it's Kevin from Alabama. Let's see. First of all, I guess I'll take a stab at the mystery sound. To me, it sounds like someone flipping a coin off their thumbnail onto a hard surface, and judging by the ring of the coin, I would think it might even be silver, maybe a silver dollar. Anyway, that's my guess. Then I have a question for you. Money Talks, does it currently, or are there plans for in the future making Money Talks be the type of program to where you can actually enter the information in the program and then have it go online and pay your bill interactively online? That would be too cool if it does it now, or if you're planning on having it do that. Again, I am really enjoying the show. There's just so much information, and everything is just really great. Yeah. Got a good format going there of all the information and such. So again, take care, and having a great time listening. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Good guess, Kevin. Not quite, though. It's very close, actually. Let me follow up on the Money Talks question. Not sure I'm exactly following you. Do you have some examples of some software that does do that? One thing we are planning on is supporting a format of files that you can work with your bank a little more interactively called Open Financial Exchange. And that's the way the newer versions of Quicken work. It's been a few little details to iron out with that, but that will involve, that'll make it so that you don't actually have to log on to your bank's website and download the QIF file. So if that's what you're talking about, we're definitely planning on doing that. And if not, give me some examples of some software that's already out there, or, you know, a little bit more information about what you had in mind. And appreciate the comments, as always.
Hey, Larry, this is Darren Duff in Kennesaw, Georgia. I'm going to take a guess on Mystery Sound 8. It sounds a lot like Rob Meredith is dropping a key, a single key, on concrete or some type of hard surface. And that's what it sounds like to me, and I've heard it several times. I noticed you put it up on your webpage, as well as played it on your last two podcasts, maybe more than the last two, but that's what I think it is. It doesn't sound like a coin to me. It sounds like a key. And I don't know how many guesses you've gotten so far, but I want a prize. I get this right. I have a really cool concept. I don't know how you would take this. I'm thinking about recording our wedding this weekend. Kimberly and I are getting married. We're a blind couple, and I know you've been talking about blind relationships. We're getting married this weekend, and I thought about recording the wedding and maybe submitting that to you. How many weddings have you had on your podcast? But seriously, though, later on we want to do, I'll talk to her about it, and we want to talk about at some point doing a podcast on what it's like to be a blind married couple, which I think will fit right in with your relationships spiel, if you will. So we're gonna maybe collaborate together on that, talk a little bit more about it, wait a few weeks until after our married life settles down, and maybe make some comments, or, you know, have a discussion one-on-one with each other, and do a podcast on that. So anyway, take care. Great show. Love the thunderstorm. It's real relaxing. I might have to make a loop of that. But take care and look forward to your next podcast. Thanks.
All right. I think that wedding is an excellent idea. That that sounds very cool. In fact, I thought about recording my daughter's wedding, but it really would probably be more appropriate if the participants were Blind Cool Tech listeners. So by all means, probably ought to leave out the honeymoon part. The guests on the Mystery Sound, very, very close. And we'll be revealing, we do actually do have a correct guess a little later on in the show, so stick around for that.
Coming to you from Louisville, Kentucky, it's the Blind Cool Tech Podcast.
On this audio segment, I'd like to demonstrate the effect that self-noise generated by condenser microphones has on recording. We have here two condenser microphones, and they're placed in very close proximity to each other. Our goal is to record a ticking quartz clock on the wall upstairs in the kitchen from the basement. We'll start out with the noisier of the two mics and see if we can hear the clock. Then we'll switch to the quieter mic, and I'm sure you'll be able to tell the difference.
Let's get real quiet and see if we can hear the clock. Now we'll switch to the quieter mic. As you've probably noticed, we can now hear the wall clock.
For another demonstration, let's use the timer on the oven. You'll easily be able to tell the difference in signal-to-noise ratio between the two microphones as you listen to the oven timer beep. I'll start out with the noisier microphone, and then I'll switch between the two as the timer beeps.
You'll notice with the quieter mic, you can hear the clock as well as the oven beep. Let's switch back to the noisier mic.
It's important to remember while comparing microphones side by side in this way that it's reasonably difficult for the average guy to get a really good objective comparison. There are always technical issues that preclude exact comparison. But I have the levels set very close on these two microphones, and This should give you some idea of differences in self-noise.
Yeah, Larry, it's Mike Buzzboom. Good day to you. I think that the mystery sound is one of those electronic door chimes that you hear sometimes when you walk into a store. You'll sometimes hear a special type of door chime that's electronic. And it sounds like to me that with the mystery sound that it's one of those just a portion of one of the door chimes sounding. And the reason I think it's an electronic one is because I believe I heard a 60 cycle hum in the background as the bell was being chimed. That's my guess for what it's worth. Thanks for a great show, and we'll talk to you later. See ya.
Hey, Mike. Close, but not quite. This has been a tough one.
Coming to you pre-recorded from Louisville, Kentucky, it's the Blind Cool Tech Podcast.
Hey, y'all. I'm Larry Skutkan, reporting with another perspective on the Olympus DS2. After listening to the excellent reports from Mary and Jamie, I decided a seasoned hand like me could provide a little bit of usage tips and show you some little quirks about the unit that might prove useful. First of all, I noticed, Jamie, when you were reporting about it, it seemed a little weird about how it acts when it goes to the beginning or the end of the folder. And one thing to keep in mind, anytime you record a note, you're at the end, that puts you at the end of the folder. Sometimes that's a good way to get there, in fact. So we're just actually recording this note just to make it be the end of the folder. We can play it. Now, what you heard there, as Jamie described, were two sets of beeps. One to let you know this is the last file in this folder. We can. You noticed when I got through recording that I just hit play to play it back. It'll depend on where you're at on whether you want to hit stop or play. It's good to verify when you can, so you can just hit play and play it immediately back. One thing you don't want to do with this unit is something like this. 6321 SAMs on the 15th. Here's what you get.
321 SAMs on the 15th.
So we don't want that note, so we can go ahead and delete it, as Jamie describes. Now our current note is...
We're just actually recording this note just to make it be the end of the folder.
Okay, now, however, if I record a second note, let's watch what happens here. I'm going to go back one, play.
I record a second note.
Now, you would think, oops, I'm sorry, I didn't go back.
We're just actually recording this note just to make it be the end of the folder.
Okay, that was the first note I recorded, and we just got the double beep to let us know that that was not the last message. Now, you would think if I'd hit delete right now, I'd be deleting that message, but I wouldn't. I'm actually moved to the next message.
I record a second note.
Now we're at the end of the folder. So be aware of that when you delete. Also, when you're at the end of the folder, you can hit the right arrow, and you'll be at the first message in the folder. Now, sometimes what it's a good idea to do is drop like a test message or a place marker into, say, if this were folder A, what I probably should have said there was folder A. But I didn't. I wasn't thinking. It's often easier to go through your files if you start at the beginning. It depends on how far you want to go back. But what you can do is play, and while they're playing, you can press the right arrow.
2927QBU301.
Now there's an example of a bad message. Let me point out this tip too. Like I told you about not pressing the, not speaking too soon after you hit the record key. Always take the time to explain what is this number?
QBU301.
Now, what I did, I hit left arrow because I'm really on the next message now. So I hit left arrow. Maybe if I play it enough, it will come to me.
QBU 301.
Let's go on.
852-9109. 3606 Clifton Food Mart on 27.
That one I can get rid of. Now, remember, I don't want to delete it now. I want to go back one. Now, if I want to make sure that's it, I can play it and stop it so it'll give me time to delete it. But if you get used to the idea.
3606.
So I stopped it. So that gives me time to go over here and delete. Now I can continue on with play.
David with the 0303.
Left arrow.
910. Right, David on. With the heating and air conditioning.
363-0303-98
authorization. Boy, this reminds me of something. 5847 target on the 20th.
There's one that can go. Back up one. Gone.
BWR logo is missing.
Wait, what was that?
BWR logo is missing.
Hmm. Wait, was that Mars? Sure was.
0557-520 WEN V is a rest, boys. No rest. Alright, let's do it. We're just actually recording this note just to make it be the end of the folder.
And any time you don't hit the right arrow, it just stops, well, on the next message. So to play the next message, you just hit play.
I record a second note.
And that was our last note. Play.
I record a second note.
Okay, so I hope that's I also meant to tell you, you hit right arrow to get to the first message. When you're there, you can hit left arrow.
Test.
Ah.
Test.
Actually, you have to let it stop. You get that double beep, you hit the left arrow again. Now you're on.
I record a second note.
Okay, I hope that giving you that little piece of information about the peculiarity of ending up on the message after the one you just heard helps clear up a little bit of what confused me anyway at my beginning use of the Olympus.
Coming to you pre-recorded from Louisville, Kentucky, it's the Blind Cool Tech Podcast.
Hey, Larry, this is Jake. My phone is about to die on me, I think, so I'll make this a quick one, but I just wanted to, first of all, take a stab at Mystery Sound 8, and that guess would be a pin dropping. In fact, it sounds like a bobby pin. I don't know if that's anywhere near correct, but like I said, it's just a guess. So thanks, and also I wanted to comment on your podcast where you and Kenny Mitchell went through the haunted house. I really enjoyed that. I haven't been in a haunted house forever, but I really like them. And the sound was awesome. I listened to it in my headphones. And I have some Sony headphones, which are excellent. Better wrap things up now, because my phone's in need of some juice. So take care, and thank you for, as always, for an excellent job on the website. And I will talk to you on the list. So bye for now, and take care.
You got it, man. Congratulations. Good guess.
Okay, I'll get real quiet and drop a pin. Yep. That's a pin drop.
You're listening to Blind Cool Tech.
And now, finally, to end up this edition of Blind Cool Tech, Chris Grabowski has submitted Mystery Sound Number 9. I don't know what this is yet, so I'm going to have to get with Chris before we are able to tell you yes or no. Hopefully I'll find out today. Or actually, I still want to guess a little more. This is pretty funny. So here's the sound. Okay. I think I might know what it is, but hopefully we'll get some interesting guesses from you guys. Before we go, I do also want to give you an update on the letter that Bill Ballou wrote to M Audio about the accessibility of the MicroTrack digital recorder. He actually got a response from, was it the project leader or the product manager on that product? And it sounds very encouraging. It looks like he's going to do some work about not wrapping the menus. You know, one other thing that just occurred to me, maybe we need to write back to this guy and tell him that one of my biggest problems with the MicroTrack is actually telling whether things on or off. It'd be nice if it gave a little beep or something to let you know it was ready to go. A little more information on the M-Audio MicroTrack. I used it for the walk home Friday, and it actually made an excellent, super recording. I was using the binaural mics, but there was one problem with it, and this little sound clip that I'm about to play here will illustrate the problem. You'll notice as long as I was standing still, or not walking anyway, everything was pretty nice. When I start walking, though, it seems like every step there's a boom. Now, I don't know whether it's little pieces going together in the microphone hitting each other or what's happening. Because, I mean, now these are the same mics that I use every day. So if there's a problem with the microphones, it's not detectable by the other recorders. So here's the sound piece.
Hey, what's up? Hey, Joy, what's going on? Is this you guys' park? Y'all have a good weekend. Bye. Good boy. Ooh, this wind is not going to be good on these mics. Alright, so if the MicroTracks had some limiting capabilities, and maybe even some automatic gain control that you could, of course, switch on and off. One other thing, too, I'm not crazy about on this thing is the fact that
That is going to do it for this edition of Blind Cool Tech. I do want to remind you that your submissions are the most valuable part of this show, so please keep those coming in. They're fascinating. Y'all have a good one, and we will see you next time.
You've been listening to Blind Cool Tech. Visit us on the web at blindcooltech.com. Our email address is blindcooltech@gmail.com, and our comment line is 206-984-9203.